Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. You count Easter as the first Sunday of Easter, then the second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. And I say that because today is traditionally known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday. I will be sharing with you from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. And if you wish to, I invite you to follow along in your pew Bibles. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." May God bless this reading of his holy word to you this day. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you can look back over your life and remember a particular time or a particular experience when you said to yourself in sort of this dawning moment kind of way, "Oh, I just was my own worst enemy"? Anybody ever have that happen? I hope a few, some honest folks here. Yeah. Maybe you told somebody else's story about something you did and you might have said, "I have no one to blame but myself." Or maybe you just thought, "I got in my own way big time." Right. Well, some people, when they're their own worst enemy, they do it in such a splashy, big kind of way. They even make the press, and everyone has a field day with it, and we look at, you know, those tabloids or those magazines at the checkout counter, and we say, "Tisk, tisk, they should have known better." But honesty's the best policy, right? Even though the public in general likes a good fall from grace, I think, we don't feel that crazy about it when it has to do with ourselves. Case in point. I remember one of my own worst enemy experiences. I was driving out of our driveway at home. It was a beautiful Saturday morning. This was one of those situations that might have involved a vehicle or two. I had one other situation where it involved my neighbor's car. Well, that was no fun. But this one wasn't any fun either. I was backing out. I was looking over my right shoulder very carefully, saw the garbage can, You know, angling a little bit so I would miss it, saw the corner of the house. I sure didn't want to hit that. All of a sudden, I heard this horrible scraping sound. Our van had been parked parallel to my car, and I hadn't really noticed how close I was to it on the left. And I thought, oh no, what have I done? Well, I did a number on the side view mirror. I looked, there's the side view mirror. It had fallen off. It was just hanging by the wires. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. Now, this was a situation where I couldn't blame anyone but myself, right? It was my driveway. Didn't have anything to do with road conditions. The other car was my other car. There was no other driver. The car was just sitting there, parked quietly, and there I had really done a number on it. Well, I couldn't believe it, but $150 later in a trip to Britland Auto Body made it really sink in what I had done. And for years, and we don't have this vehicle now, but for years, I had to drive a vehicle that had different color side view mirror on the driver's side because that was the cheapest way to fix the problem. We've all had, I hope, things like that happen. We can easily belong, I think, to my own worst enemy club. And maybe you're thinking about sometimes in your life when you've had that kind of feeling happened to you. And I think, though, this isn't only applying to our daily lives and different things that we do where we feel like we can't blame anybody else. It also applies to the spiritual aspect of our practical lives. It seems so much of the biblical witness is an attempt to say, don't be your own worst enemy. Remember, there is a life out there that God intends for you to live. It's the life of being a faithful follower. I mean, that's the summation, right? A summation of the biblical message. The choice is put out there. Do you want to be left to your own devices and get into your own messes? Or do you want to follow the one who knows a thing or two? No wonder the Christian church has designated this fourth Sunday of Easter as Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a way to hold out before us that reminder about the problematic nature of being left to our own devices. The message of Good Shepherd Sunday could be just put out there and summed up by the words of Isaiah. And those of you who are familiar with Handel's Messiah, you can just hear the singing as I say them to you. All we like sheep, right, have gone astray, everyone to his own way. That's the problem. But the problem isn't without a solution. 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you put all of that together with what we heard from the Gospel of John for this morning, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I lay down my life for my sheep. You have this wonderful, wonderful image that helps all of us think through who we really want to follow in our lives. Do we want to follow just ourselves and what we think is best, or do we actually need a leader? Do we actually need a leader? Good news is proclaimed. There is a leader. We have one to follow who can and indeed does save us, in that most important way. Saves us from ourselves, saves us from getting into our own ways. Think about that as a meaning of salvation. My mind turns to an experience that I had actually in grade school. It made a kind of a different sort of impact on me. Today, all the schools are into disaster preparedness, and for good reason. It's really a troubling and sad state of affairs when our children have to go through certain types of drills because safety has become such a primary concern. But I remember back in my day, we had also certain types of drills, and the lesson that I learned is actually in the kind of that category, everything I learned in life, everything I need to know in life, I learned in kindergarten. Remember that wonderful book? Well, disaster preparedness was a part of my school time growing up. It was in the 60s, and you know, we were in the throes of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and so we were all taught when a certain command came over the intercom, we were to get under our desks, you know, crawl under our desks, put our arms over our heads so that we would supposedly be safe from some awful attack. But I never really understood how that was the sure bet for our safety, but we all did it routinely. And it was also a time when fire drills felt even more important than ever because of this concern about disaster preparedness. We had a substitute teacher one day who didn't know what the routine was for our class's fire drill, okay? And so she decided that the kid whose name began with an A wasn't really the one to lead our class out when the fire drill happened that day. She turned to the kid whose name began with a Z. Now, those kids whose names began with Z, they never got a lot of responsibility, I don't think, because, you know, they were at the back of the class. They were at the end of the line. But the kid, whoever that was, whose name began with a Z, she told him that he was supposed to lead us out to our spot of safety. And because he had never done it before, he did not know where that was. And because all of us had followed along blindly before, we weren't really clear where we were supposed to go either. And so here we were like little lambs, you know, little lambs not knowing where our spot of safety was. I think about that time where we didn't really have a leader. I think about that time of not knowing where a spot of safety was. And so we can think of the Good Shepherd as the necessary leader to take us in whatever way we will follow to whatever is that spot of safety for us. Spot of safety in a very ultimate way I am talking about here. How easy it is to make decisions that are not in our best interest. How easy it is to feel like we are wandering and we have an aimlessness and there's no GPS signal strong enough to help us out. There's that wonderful quote, "If you don't know where you are going, any path will get you there." Right? Let's know where we are going. The only way to have surety about that is to have a leader, and not just any leader, a leader that we can trust, a leader we can actually trust. One of the best ways for figuring out this bottom line primary need of getting ourselves out of our own way, I think it has to do with the utterly humble stance of humility that is connected with 12-step programs, okay? AA programs and all the programs connected with 12 steps. Think in particular for a moment about the first three steps. If you're familiar with AA, either from a family member's experience, your own experience, or being a part of Al-Anon, you know what I am talking about with the first three steps. They're such a genius. There's such a genius behind them. And they're not just for folks struggling with addiction. I think that's where we get it a little bit wrong. Step one, we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. You could just as easily translate this to saying, we admitted we were powerless over being our own worst enemy and our lives have become unmanageable. And then here's step two as having that incredible impact on our lives as well. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And in our specific context here, think about it. We are talking about the Good Shepherd, power greater than ourselves, who stays by his sheep no matter what. In fact, that's why Jesus just throws out that bit about a hired hand into the scripture passage we have. The hired hand, when danger comes, just runs, you know, taking care of himself, doesn't stay with the sheep with vigilance and love. Amazing, amazing care of the Good Shepherd. And then there's step three. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Richard Rohr has written this very interesting book called Breathing Underwater. And what he does is he takes the 12 steps and he puts them in a certain way so that they are universally applicable to all of us, not only to those who are working on sobriety and their own addictions, but they can be applicable to all of us. And he says this, especially about the third step, and I'd like for you to listen carefully. We each have our inner program for happiness. Our plans by which we can be secure, esteemed, in control, and we are blissfully unaware that these cannot work for us for the long haul without becoming more and more control freaks ourselves. Something has to break our primary addiction, which is to our own power and our own false programs for happiness. Think about those words. Something has to break our primary addiction, which is our own power and our own false programs for happiness. How do those words speak to you today? My question. So here again, the scripture, and hear it in the silence of your hearts this day. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. May those words become embedded in here, not up in our brains, but in here, in our hearts. May they do their work inside us. May they speak to all of us. And may they speak in an abiding way so that we know the beauty of following, so that we know the joy of the journey, so that we know we are embraced by ultimate safety, embraced by our God in love, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, help us as we wander. Help us as we work on our own individual programs for happiness. Break through to us We know that we don't want to become control freaks, in charge of our lives to that degree, because we know we can find leadership in you through Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Help us follow in the way you would have us go. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.